Our scripture reading this evening is from Psalm 25, verses 8 through 18. Hear now these words. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. And the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who are they that fear the Lord? He will teach them the way they should choose. They will abide in prosperity, and their children shall possess the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord God, may your Spirit fill this room and our own hearts this evening, so that as we ponder these words of your Holy Scripture, their meaning may become apparent and true for us. Amen. When I sat down to prepare the message for tonight, I realized that 2 years ago at Ash Wednesday, we were on the cusp of the pandemic. Of course, at that time, I didn't know what it meant. None of us did. It would arrive in full force a couple weeks after Ash Wednesday. We would be locked down, isolated, thoroughly disoriented. And that was only the start. In the past 2 years, we have dealt with disease, contentious politicking, economic uncertainty, racial reckoning, and now a war that has unsettled the world. And that doesn't even cover the problems that we had before the pandemic, such as the opioid crisis, climate change, economic inequality, which are still with us and seem to be getting worse. As I began to write this sermon, I found myself leaving the scripture passages that I had originally planned to use and turning instead to the Psalms, and particularly the Psalms of Lament. Among those vast variety of Psalms, there are dozens that are cries to God from the heart of those who are struggling. Whether it be struggles with pain, struggles with disease, struggle with enemies, struggles with sin, and perhaps most deeply felt, struggles with their connection with God. Psalms like Psalm 25, which I just read, Psalms that cry out to God and asking, in essence, why isn't the world a better place? In the midst of a pandemic that can't quite seem to end, in the midst of economic upheaval, in the midst of a war that is too unreal to be believed, in the midst of facing my own personal situations, I found comfort in the words of Psalm 25, particularly the words that said, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress. Consider my afflictions and my trouble and forgive all my sins. It's all a jumbled mess right now as Lent begins and we are struggling to get back to normal, whatever that might be these days. And all this has led to kind of a rather unfocused beginning to this season we call Lent. And maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe it's appropriate, for in many ways, that is what Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent has come to be in the Christian church, a time for focusing. What I appreciate about Psalm 25 is how it moves from an individual prayer to a corporate prayer. It begins with the psalmist saying, to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. And it ends with the words, "Redeem Israel, O God, out of all its troubles." And that's how it is for us. We are part of a larger world of troubles, some of which we can address, but most of which are beyond our control. Yet our prayer is for God to redeem all of us, our church, our community, our nation, and our world, out of the troubles that we face. Troubles that we have brought upon ourselves in our own sinfulness as human beings. And yet we are also individuals before God. We have our own troubles, our own sins to deal with. And the psalmist takes these before God as well, asking for help and forgiveness in order to make it through life. It is these twin foci, if you will, the personal relationship with God and the realization that God is bigger than us, bigger than all we can imagine. That is a good starting point for the season of Lent. Lent in the ancient church was the last period of preparation for converts to Christianity. After 3 years of study, prayer, fasting, service, and confession, a would-be follower of Christ went through this final period of fasting and prayer so that on Easter Sunday, he or she might be baptized into the death of Christ and lifted up with Christ's resurrection. Those last days before that glorious Easter was a time for the new Christian to put into focus what Christ meant to them and how they were going to live the life they were going to claim in their baptism. And here we are, claiming that ancient custom and this ancient season of the church for our own. And we too can use this time to put into focus our relationship with Christ and to identify and address the barriers to that relationship. In a short while, we will come before this table and join in Holy Communion. We do this at Christ's invitation. Just as with the disciples on that Last Supper, it is an intimate moment, made all the more intimate by the significance that Jesus put into the bread and the cup. The bread that is here is no longer just bread, but it is the body of Christ. And we are now to be joined with that body. And the cup here is no longer just an ordinary cup, but it is the life essence of our Savior. And we partake of the cup because Jesus gave his very life for us. We begin this season of Lent at the table because Lent is the season when we as Christians are challenged to make that extra effort to know Christ more thoroughly, more intimately, and more completely. And in knowing Christ, to serve Christ more fully. The intimacy of this meal is the intimacy we seek all through the next 6 weeks until Easter morning arrives, and we will be part of more than a party. We will be part of a homecoming in which we are united with the one who loves us more than life itself. And yet, before we can come to this table, we walk through the ashes. Ashes, the historic symbol of penance for our sins and for the sins of the world. At a revival a few years ago, a man came forward for the altar call, which is a time when sinners are invited to come forward and confess their sins and receive the mercy of God. This poor man was obviously tortured by the pain of his own hidden sins, and he was nervous about coming forward. But he made his way to the front, and there he kneeled and cried out, "My sin is full of life." Quickly realizing his mistake, he reversed his words, and the service went on. But I think maybe he got it right. Sin is full of life within us. And it is that sin that lies between us and God and infects us in little ways and breaks our relationship with God and with each other. When we lie to get out of a sticky situation, when we cheat to get ahead, when we make fun of someone else's troubles, when we ignore the needs of others, when we can't find a way to love our enemies, when we don't even try to understand the injustices of our society, when we try to justify ourselves, when we put money, pleasure, security, status before our relationship with God, that is when sin is at work and alive in us. And it's these little infections of sin that contaminate us and sets a barrier between us and God. And because that sin is a barrier between us and God, sin must die. It must die within us, it must die around us, and that is where the ashes come in. Ashes are all about death. They're about the symbol of death, of sin, because Christ died for our sins. We receive these ashes not because we have overcome sin, but because Christ has overcome sin. These ashes are put into focus for us that there is sin within us that lives, but Christ is the one who removes it. And they remind us as well that our sins died when Christ died and rose from death. Lent is a season for such focus. A season when we focus on our relationship with Christ and we focus on the sin that lies as the barrier between that relationship. And neither is static or complete. But on this evening, we bring both into momentary focus. We experience both the ashes and the communion. We receive both as a gift of Christ's love and the one thing that'll get us through Lent and all of life. Mm-hmm.